We're reading from Colossians chapter 1 and starting there at verse 19 and reading through to Colossians 2 and verse 7. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. Now I rejoice in what I am suffering for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but this is now disclosed to the Lord's people. To them God has chosen to make known the Gentiles, to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. I want you to know how hard I am contending for you and for those in Laodicea, and for all who have not met me personally. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. For though I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit, and delight to see how disciplined you are and how firm your faith in Christ is. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Amen.
Well, it's a great pleasure to welcome the Reverend David Jackman to our service this afternoon. And he's going to come and open up that passage to us, preach God's word to us. David, as we were reminded just before the service, he has significant connections with Highfields Church. You preached in Peter Baker's induction service here nearly 20 years ago. So, and of course, since then, you were involved very much in our network course, beginning that. Has links, of course, with Dave Gobbett as well and Eden. So thanks for being amongst us, David, today, and may God bless you as you bring God's word to us.
Well, let me begin by thanking you very much for your welcome and saying what a delight it is to be here and to share this wonderful day with you. If you've got the order of service there, you'll find the reading that we've just had read to us, from which I'm going to speak in a few moments, and it may be useful to have that by you as we look together at some of the big things that Paul is saying for us. Very appropriate to an occasion like this as we think about the church and its ministry and its pastor. New beginnings are always exciting, and today's no exception. And we all sense the expectation and the anticipation, the hopes and desires for the future that we feel as a church family and as friends and in fellowship with Dave and Sally. And our great prayer, as we've been singing and it's been running all the way through the service, is that God's name will be glorified, that his work will grow and develop, and that his glory will be manifested through his people. And I think it's been so important that that note's been there all through what we've been doing this afternoon, because the focus is not on the new pastor, because however gifted and godly he may be, he couldn't possibly fulfill all the expectations that are expressed in a gathering like this. No, it is in God that we trust. It is his glory that we're concerned about, and it is his gospel that is at the heart of everything we do. I have two cartoons in my office back in London, which have been given to me by different friends at different times in my ministry, perhaps trying to say something to me. I've never been quite sure. But the first cartoon shows a minister sitting at his desk with piles of paper either side. You know he's a minister because he's wearing a dog collar. I imagine that's necessary for the cartoon to identify who he is. And as he sits with piles of paper, his wife or his secretary is coming through the door with another huge tray marked in, full of paper, and she says, "Smile. God loves you, and everyone else has a wonderful plan for your life." The second cartoon that sits alongside it shows another minister, this time on the telephone, and he's saying, "No, Thursday is no good either. How about never? Is never good for you?" Now, I don't know what my friends are trying to tell me from that, of course. But I sometimes think that the text for an occasion like this should be John 1, verse 20, spoken about John the Baptist. He confessed freely, "I am not the Christ. I am not the Christ." That is to say, no human being, no pastor, however gifted, however much in God's hands, has the ability to be to us what the Lord Jesus is. And of course we know that. But sometimes the church is tempted to think their pastor ought to be like that. And sometimes pastors are tempted to think that they should be like that, or perhaps even on very bad days that they could be like that. No, I am not the Christ. When I studied at Bristol under Jim Packer, he used to say to us going into the ministry, "When you get into the ministry, people will want to put you on a pedestal and you will want to let them. But remember that everything that's on a pedestal is liable to come crashing down sooner or later." So let's turn to the scriptures for some realistic divine instruction about Christian ministry, as exemplified by the Apostle Paul in his practice, a ministry that was authorized and empowered by the Lord Jesus himself, as indeed is all gospel ministry, for all valid Christian ministry is an extension of the ministry of Christ. Now, the church at Colossae was not founded by Paul, but by Epaphras, who brought the gospel into the city. During that time, Paul was in Ephesus, his longest settled ministry in any place. You remember he was talking every day in the lecture hall of Tyrannus, and the gospel reached out from Ephesus into the whole province of Asia Minor. Colossae was one of those cities, and the church there was planted by this convert from Ephesus. And by the time Paul writes, the danger that the church is facing is that it will drift away from the centrality of the Lord Jesus Christ into a focus on Christianity, on religion, on the additions to the gospel which were being advanced by various teachers who were having influence within the church. That they would move beyond the apostolic message to a message which was being advertised as a greater fullness. That's a word that's often used in this letter. A greater experience of God beyond the gospel and the person of the Lord Jesus. And if we were going to study the letter, we give careful attention to those additions that were being promulgated. Some of them were religious observances. Some of them were strict rules and regulations of moral behavior. Some of them were special spiritual experiences. But they were all extras. They were all the gospel plus these ideas which the incoming teachers brought with them. But you know, the gospel plus is always the gospel minus. As soon as you start to try to add to the gospel of Jesus Christ as the central heartbeat of the church and as its mission in the world, as soon as you add to Jesus, you subtract from his sufficiency. You insinuate that he is not enough in himself and that something has to be added. And that's why Paul says in the second chapter of the letter, not on our sheet here, but a little later, that in Christ all the fullness of the Godhead lives in bodily form. And you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. Now, in the brief time we have this afternoon, let me highlight just two essential convictions which these Colossians needed to return to and which we need to affirm as we celebrate today this new beginning in the life of the church here at Highfields. If we're going to keep on track in the ministry of the gospel, if God is going to bless and use this church, as we all pray and trust he will in the coming days, then both pastor and people need to recognize these priorities. There are just two that I want to highlight. In the letter itself, of course, there is more to be said. But just in this section, the two things to focus us. The first thing is this, that the purpose of godly ministry is to present everyone mature in Christ. I'll say that again. The purpose of godly ministry, ministry that reflects Jesus, is to present everyone mature in Christ. Now, it's obvious that you've got to know what you're doing and why you are doing it. If you don't have any focus, then you won't have any fulfillment. And that is a challenge for us as church members, as well as for those in the ministry, that we keep our focus really sharp. When the Lord Jesus prayed to his Father, right at the end of his life in John 17, that night in which he was betrayed, he said to the Father, "I have finished the work you gave me to do." That is to say, I have completed the task that was put upon me. You gave me the focus. By your grace, Heavenly Father, I have fulfilled it. Now, there must have been many villages that he never visited in Israel. There must have been thousands of sick people that he didn't heal in Israel. But he fulfilled the Father's agenda. And the agenda for the church is very clearly outlined in our verses. If you look at paragraph 2 there on the sheet, which is actually verse 21 of chapter 1 of Colossians, once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish, free from accusation, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move away from the hope held out in the gospel. So you see, everything starts with this amazing work of God through the Lord Jesus and his death on the cross. We are here today as Christian people as testimony to the wonderful transforming power of the work of Jesus Christ when he died on that cross in our place as the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And everything stems from that. That is the message of the cross, the message of the gospel, the message of the church. Jesus Christ and him crucified, resurrected, ascended and glorified, bearing shame and scoffing rude, in my place condemned he stood, sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah, what a savior. But what is God's purpose in all of that? Of course it is to save us from death, to save us from hell, but it is also clearly here to present you holy. Cleansed from sin, clothed in Christ's righteousness, acceptable to God, reconciled to him, and full of hope in Christ for our eternal future. That is the essence of the church. And every believer on the Highfields Church membership roll is a miracle of God's mercy and a trophy of God's grace. And that is a cause for great praise and for assurance, but not for complacency. Because verse 23 says, if you continue in your faith, established and firm. That is to say, Paul is saying, though this great work of Christ is an eternal work and no one can gainsay it, we're not yet there in the fulfillment of the hope of the eternal kingdom. And we're not yet experiencing the fullness of the reign of the King in our own hearts and lives. We are people in process. And being a Christian is, as John Stott used to say, making patent what is latent. Or if you like, it's becoming in practice what we already are in God's eyes in Christ. It's living out what God is working in us. We have to continue firm, not moving away from the hope of the gospel, That will determine how we live our lives here and now in this world. And that's why right at the end of our section, in the last little paragraph there, Paul says, "So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness." This is what the church is about, receiving the Lord Jesus as the Lord of your life. That's the gospel message. Not just that Jesus Christ is Savior, but Jesus Christ is Lord. Not just the rescuer, but the ruler. But that is only the beginning. Look at those verbs. Received, continue, rooted, built up, strengthened, overflowing. That's the Christian life. That's what real Christianity looks like. And that is the goal of all godly ministry. Perhaps the point is made most clearly in the middle of our section. It's actually paragraph 4 on the sheet here, which is verse 28 in Colossians 1. He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom. And here is the phrase, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. Now, do you see how this blends with what he has already done for us? Now there is an obligation on us all to grow in our knowledge and love of him, to increase in maturity, to grow more and more like the Lord Jesus. And when he says to present us fully mature, he's not pretending that here in this world we will never stumble, that we'll never make mistakes, that we'll never fall. But he says this is the process that should be continuing. This is what the church is about. Reaching the goal, growing in godliness, becoming more and more like our Savior Jesus Christ. That's why we need ministry. That's the service to which Paul says he has been called by God. He says that's the task that God has given him. The gospel that you heard and has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, have become a servant. And again in verse 25, he says, I've become the servant of the church, the servant of the gospel, the servant of the church, because you serve God when you serve the church in the service of the gospel. Now, let's not also lose the corporate application of this, because we're not lone rangers as Christians. We're a community. We're a family of God's people, both here when we gather and when we scatter into the city and the world beyond. And people judge Christ and his gospel by what they see in his people. Not just if they happen to come into church on a Sunday, whether they are befriended or left to drink their coffee on their own, things like that, which are very important. But more significantly, when they meet us at work or at the school gate or at the leisure centre or in the community. And the sort of community that Paul says he is labouring for in the last but one paragraph there, chapter 2, verse 2, is that the Colossian church may be encouraged in heart and united in love so as to have the full riches of complete understanding. That's why God has provided pastors and teachers, that we will be encouraged in our hearts, united in our love for him, growing in our knowledge and love of God himself. And that is what he calls us to be doing, because we're all in the ministry. It's not just the pastor who is set aside to be the minister, but all of us day by day in the very unique context that God has given us to live our lives in. Because the church is his body, we are the agents of the Lord Jesus in the world. And that's why it's so important that we grow like him in maturity. And that emphasis is never on the ministry itself, but on the Lord himself, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So that is what we should be praying for as Dave and Sally take up their ministry among you today. That we will be, as a church family here, and whatever churches we come from, it will be true of our fellowships as well, that each individual local church is a maturing church. We tend to talk about young Christians and mature Christians. It's not a good distinction. Everybody should be a maturing Christian, however long or however old we've been in the Christian faith, whether we just came to Christ last week or whether we've been on the road for many years. All of us are to be maturing Christians, pressing on to know Christ better and to make him known. And the reason is partly because a church that is growing in maturity will be a church that is fruitful evangelistically. Because when you see the life of Christ demonstrated in his people, then at that very point, people begin to be interested. What is there about these people that's different? Why are they so gracious or loving or patient or persevering or whatever the qualities are that are revealed? Every day our lives are either ministering for him or against him. Because we're known as Christians, because people know we go to church, they will make their assessment of the gospel from the lives of his people. And as someone said recently, what our culture needs today is not slick gospel sales programs, but more free samples. And if we will live our lives as free samples of Christ, maturing, growing in likeness to him, then this church will have a magnetism about it, which will continue and increase and develop, because where people see the reality of Jesus, the Holy Spirit uses that to draw them to listen to the truth of his word and to respond in faith and in repentance. So that's the first thing of our two priorities, that the purpose of godly ministry is to present everyone mature in Christ. Now let me, in the second half of what I want to say, suggest that the power of godly ministry is to present the Word of God in its fullness. The power of godly ministry is to present the Word of God in its fullness. Paragraph 3, halfway down. I have become the servant of the church by the commission God gave me to present to you the Word of God in its fullness. The mystery that's been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So that's the great thing that Paul is concerned about. Here is the apostolic ministry conviction, and we stand in that succession. And the emphasis is on the fullness of the Word of God, the complete sufficiency of that Word. Now, when he says to present the Word of God in its fullness, that's the apostolic commission, does he mean to preach his way through from Genesis to Revelation? No, though that would be a very good thing. What he means is that the full message of the Scripture needs to be conveyed in all its different facets. Let's just follow it through with me. Let's ask him, Paul, what do you really mean by that? Well, he says in this paragraph that it's a mystery. That's not a puzzle, but something concealed from you until you are shown it. But it's disclosed, and your eyes are now open to it, he says, and what you have come to understand of the good news of the Lord Jesus is the unveiling of God's revelation of the mystery which for generations was not known at all. But Jesus now has come, and so it's not a mystery any longer. And he says it's not just the Jews now who enter into this, but God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery. And it's as though he keeps us on the edge of our seats, and it's a mystery, he says, that's rich in glory and worldwide in its influence. And then at the end of verse 27, at the end of that paragraph, he comes to the great conclusion. It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So the Word of God in its fullness is Jesus Christ. That's why the next paragraph says, he is the one we proclaim. And that's the task of us all every day, but supremely it's the task of the pastor to preach Christ, to preach the word of Christ. And as we witness to the truth of Christ, we're not preaching Christianity. We are proclaiming the Lord Jesus as the one in whom all the fullness of the deity lives. And miracle of miracles, says Paul, that Christ, whom he has taught us in chapter 1, is exalted above everything as the King of the cosmos and the King of the church. That Christ lives in you as a Christian person. He lives in you now by his Spirit, and he will bring you to the not yet, the eternal hope fulfilled in glory. Now that is the heart of the message. that the Christ, who is the creator of all things, the redeemer of all who put their trust in him, is not a remote person, but one who lives within his people by his Spirit indwelling us. And he is the one who will keep us, filling us with hope about the glorious future. All the scriptures speak of him. All God's promises and purposes find their yes and amen in him. And that's why the ministry of the word in all its fullness is the only means by which we may present everyone complete in Christ. And I want to say this afternoon, there is no plan B. There is no other way to grow a church. There is nothing else that will bring glory to God and eternal benefit to his people other than the proclamation of the word of God in its fullness. Now, it is particularly the pastor's privilege and responsibility. That is how he will serve you best. So expect him to be in his study every morning in the word of God and prayer. That's what you've set him apart to do. Of course, there are many other things that he'll be doing. But if he doesn't do that in the ministry of the word, who is going to? And as you receive that word, be prepared to do just that, to feed on it, to put it into practice, to treasure it, and to pass it on to others. He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone. Admonition means warning about the things that are not according to God's word and that need to be changed. And remember, a faithful pastor will always preach the negatives as well as the positives. He will always shield us from the error, as he promised to do in those induction promises, by proclaiming the truth. But you will never understand the truth unless you see the equivalent negative and the error. We sometimes have to do that. We must expose what is wrong as well as teach what is right. But the admonition will also involve teaching the positive truths of the whole Bible, the instruction on which we're to build our lives towards this maturity, the fullness that is ours in Christ. Now pray for Dave as he does that, week by week. Support him in that. Respond to what God is saying to you in it. You know, we all thrive on encouragement. Whenever I go to preach anywhere, I always think there are people here in this congregation who need to be encouraged. But you know, pastors thrive on encouragement too. And we need to be encouraged, not in a false way, not in a flattering way. But when you are helped, give thanks to God, but give thanks to the channel of the help as well, so that he can be encouraged and can see that God is at work in him and through him. As we take on this task of admonishing and teaching, obviously the next part of the verse says, it requires all wisdom. And that is God-given if we ask him for it. But it also comes, not just automatically, but as the fruit of study and prayer. And verse 29, the end of that little paragraph, reminds us that if we are going to present everyone mature in Christ, it will require what is translated here as strenuously contending. The older version of the NIV says, "For this I toil, struggling." And there are two verbs there, actually. Both of them are physical, energy-consuming effort verbs. There's the verb of labor or toil, hard work of a manual sort. Usually the verb was used to describe the sort of things that you see when those guys are digging up the road with a pneumatic drill and they have arms like tree trunks. And they're used to a huge amount of physical energy going into their work. That's the verb that he uses here, I labor or toil. And the verb struggling comes from the wrestling arena, where two athletes are pitching their strength against one another in order to overcome and win through, to win the wrestling bout. And Paul says that's what Christian ministry is like, strenuously contending, toiling and struggling. And I have to say that in about 40 years of Christian ministry, I have found it to be exactly that. Labor, struggle, hard work. But it doesn't end there, does it? I seriously and strenuously contend, he says, with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. Now that's the secret, isn't it? That's the way ahead. So as you go forward as a church and you seek to discern God's will and to follow God's plans and to proclaim God's truth, yes, it will be hard work. He calls upon us all to do that. And there will be toil and struggle sometimes because we fight the world and the flesh and the devil. But all his energy, powerfully at work in us, in its total ability to achieve God's goal. So let's have these confidences as we move forward. Not to us be the glory, but to him, because the purpose of godly ministry is to present everyone mature in Christ, and the power of godly ministry is in presenting the word of God in its fullness, whether that is to those who believe or to those who don't yet believe. And as you move forward then today as pastor and people in this new situation, the excitement of today will soon become the demanding work of everyday ministry and service. Let me encourage you all not to lose sight of these priorities. Don't be tempted to think that there is any other sort of fullness than that which is in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ alone, his person, his work. Don't imagine that there is any greener grass, that if only we got the latest sort of fad or fancy going in the church, everything will be fine and all the problems will be solved. Of course, that's never true. Don't let anything turn your eyes away from Christ in his glory. He is the one we proclaim, that we may present everyone fully mature in him. So fix your eyes on Jesus. Proclaim him. Trust and obey him. Find all your resources and enabling in him. Be the aroma of Christ here in the church, in our fellowship together, and through the church in our city and culture and indeed in all the world. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. And the thankfulness we feel today can overflow through all the coming days as Christ is the center, and as we lift up one another as pastor and people, trusting in him to be our sufficiency and for him to bring great glory to himself as we proclaim his gospel throughout the world. Let's pray. We thank you, our gracious God, for these resources that you have given us. Thank you for the sufficiency of your holy word. Thank you that in Scripture everything we need for life and godliness is given to us. And thank you for calling Dave to this ministry of the word, for gifting him and equipping him and anointing him with your spirit to be the messenger of your truth. And we pray that you will help him as he gives himself to this work week by week, that you will inspire him, refresh him, encourage his heart, and enable him, Lord, that as he stands here to proclaim your truth, the lives of many, many people, our own and many beyond the church building at the moment, may be affected by that truth and changed by the Christ who is proclaimed. And help us, Lord, that we might work on together to grow in maturity. We long to be more like the Lord Jesus. We want you to use us more and more for your glory. We want our lives to count for your kingdom. So please help us, Lord, that we might grow in our knowledge and love of you, that our church family may be one that's encouraged in faith and united in love and pressing on to know the full riches of complete understanding. May we find in the Lord Jesus all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And thank you for telling us in your word that as all the fullness of the deity lives in him, we have come to fullness of life in Christ. So receive our thanks, Lord, and help us, we pray, to be faithful servants of such a gracious, loving, and faithful Father. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.